This podcast is provided by National MI for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional advice. Reference to any third-party products or services, as well as the views, thoughts, and opinions of guests, does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by National MI. Views and opinions expressed by National MI employees are those of the individual employee and do not necessarily reflect the view of National MI.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back to the Mortgage Mix podcast. My name is Ralph Remy. I'm your host, and I am excited to bring back, really for the first time, a return guest, the one and only Kristen Messerly from First Home IQ. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hey, doing great. So excited to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you back. And so first and foremost, for those of us, or those of you, I should say, that are joining us maybe for the first time, make sure to subscribe, like, wherever it is that you are listening to your podcast. If you are listening and watching us on YouTube, make sure to like our page and subscribe because you want to know anytime a new episode comes out. And today we have an exciting episode because just recently we launched our 2024 Next Gen Homebuyer Report in partnership with you, Kristen. This is actually the fourth year that we have been a part of this here at National MI. So we are excited through that. And we're excited to really talk through your findings. I know that those that maybe have downloaded the report already, if you haven't, we're going to encourage you to go to our website, to the Next Gen page, and download that. If you're on YouTube, you can find a link below. But let's deep dive some of the things on the report. And for those of you on YouTube, and if you listen to us on the podcast, you may want to check out the YouTube part of this episode because Kristen is going to be sharing some slides with us as we discuss it. So it gives you a little bit of a visual to go along with our conversation. So first of all, Kristen, thank you for including us and bringing this great information to the marketplace. We know that it's a challenging market. So before I kind of get into any of the specifics on the report, anything kind of raise your eyebrows a little bit this year that was new that maybe hadn't come up in the past in the last few years that we've been doing this report together?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, so grateful to have National MI as a partner on this again. It is so, it's amazing to be able to bring this kind of fresh insight into the industry every year. And yeah, it was interesting. I used some of the questions that we've asked in the past so we can track progress in certain ways, like trust and things like that. But we asked a little bit more around some of their financial habits. And it was cool to see that there are some pretty positive financial habits that people have in place. And I think there's a growing sense of a desire for education, but there's, again, an increasing lack of confidence in that information. So you see kind of this like hopelessness a little bit about access to home ownership, skepticism in the market, skepticism about experts, which isn't surprising, but it is something notable.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You kind of mentioned a few key words. And if there were three key words that I think we're going to focus on today, that is confidence, trust, and education. And you kind of hit all of them in your synopsis there. So let's kind of get to it as far as the report. Actually, let me backtrack. I know you just, you know, obviously opened and started First Home IQ about a year ago in that range, and it has to do with financial literacy. But what got you to actually start doing these Next Gen Homebuyer Report? What was your motivation to get that going besides kind of bringing that information out there because of part of your financial literacy goal that you're really moving forward with right now?
Yeah, the goal has always been around getting closer to the market, understanding what the next generation really does think and feel, and what their actual needs are. I was doing lots of interviews in partnership. National MI was sponsoring a lot of those. I was having lots of conversations with millennials. And at the time, we weren't talking about Gen Z yet, but we were talking about next gen homebuyers. And I thought, this is important for us to look at a larger scale. And I did that for some companies and I thought, okay, let's come together and do this for the industry. So it's been really helpful, partly for, you know, the you know, just bringing this information forward, but it's also been helpful as I started First Home IQ to know the kind of education we need and the approach we need in order to reach the segment of home buyers.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that because it has evolved even in a very short span of time of 4 years, where it was maybe 4 years ago was very millennial based and millennial heavy, to now you have a new component in Gen Z as they have begun kind of getting into the home buying market, if you will. So I know our hope as a National MI, and I know part of our partnership is loan officers, lenders out there listening to us, use this information to better educate yourself so you can ultimately educate your clients and your home buyers out there and your market, and quite frankly, even your realtors, and bring this as a value add to your partners out there. So let's kind of talk through the 2024 version of this report. I want to really focus on the 6 insights that you put. You kind of start the report out with that, is you have 6 key insights. And I really want to start with the top 2, because the top 2 really has to do with confidence or lack thereof. So there's a lack of confidence when it comes to accessibility of home ownership, and there's a lack of confidence when it comes to the home buying process or the knowledge of home buying. So talk me through that a little bit of what you feel is or you're hearing from those that you interviewed as regards to this lack of confidence that they have.
Yeah, this slide, I think, is maybe one of the most important slides of the presentation. And for those who are listening, we're looking at those 2 stats that Ralph brought up. Only 1 in 3 are confident in the stability of the market. Actually, I don't know if you brought that one up, but it's a lack of confidence. And the big one was that over half are not confident that homeownership will be accessible to the next generation in the future. So this overall lack of confidence that homeownership is accessible to them now or in the future, I think is a big theme that I hear in the market, and that a lot of people report from about their home buyers is a lot of people aren't even entering the market because they're skeptical that it's a good idea. I actually just finished a call with a group of high school students that were teaching with First Home IQ. And these are students in high school that are talking about, they're asking questions of one of our volunteer ambassadors, and they're asking questions about buying a home. And a bunch of people were saying, you know, but do you think it is really a good idea to buy? And do you think that there's, you know, the market is going to change? Like, they're asking kind of advanced sounding questions that I thought, man, people have access to information, which we'll get to, in a very different way with this next generation. They're watching TikTok videos that are talking about home ownership and in a way that makes them feel that this is out of reach. So this is a theme that we wanted to touch on in this report.
Yeah, for those of you that may be listening on a podcast, that was page 17 of our home buyer report that Kristen was referencing. And it's interesting you talk about not just, you know, obviously high schoolers, but when we're talking about in this report, next gen potential home buyers, how has their mindset start to shift from, you know, I've been hearing this kind of phrase over the last few months, especially, and it's the question of, is the American dream still alive as far as when it comes to home ownership? What did you kind of hear from? It looks like there's a desire to it. It's hoping that they don't kind of lose that confidence to the point where they give up. The same thing you're hearing out there?
Yeah, what I thought was inspiring to me, and I'm reporting back from a group of high school students, but I was thinking they're all really curious about buying a home. They all were asking like serious questions about buying a home. And I thought people still want to buy homes. This is still something all of my friends want to buy homes. You know, anyone you talk to, there may be people who are skeptical that now is a good idea for them to buy, and that may or may not be true. But I think it's important that we increase the availability of information and access to that information. And that, you know, that's another point that you had brought up, the other key point that we talked about, that 51% of next gen say they're not confident in their knowledge of buying a home. That's slide 18, right after the one we just talked about. That's just this lack of confidence in their understanding and education, which is definitely reflected in the last report we did on financial literacy back in September, I think it was. This is a big challenge for people, no matter their age.
Yeah. So when we talk about that confidence and even, or lack thereof in this case, how do we help build that confidence, how can we as an industry help getting them on that path toward, even if it's a small step? You know, I know in the report you talk about how often they're getting their credit pulled, the amount of debt that they have and where that debt is, but how do we help them kind of take those steps forward so they feel they're progressing in the right direction?
Yeah, I think we need to provide both education and inspiration. At First Home IQ, we talk about education, inspiration, and resources. So like, how are you coming together or bringing that together to your audience? And that might be your customer going through the home buying process. Are you giving them education about what they can expect? Are you helping them to, you know, lead them through this process in a way that's transparent and helps them feel inspired and safe going through that? And are you giving them resources along the way? But how, as in your general community, how are you doing this? And, you know, at First Home IQ, we focus on social media, your digital presence, like putting information out there. It might even be just sharing some of this data. You could put share a video going over some of these slides and talk about them and share them with your audience in a story on Instagram, you know, something like that. That's delivering this inspiration in a way that's accessible. It might be doing webinars. It might be doing presentations in local schools or community events. But those are ways that you can decrease the space between the consumer and someone they can trust. And I think that's the problem today. I mean, there's so many. I was just listening to a podcast not too long ago from the New York Times that's talking about how it's better to rent than to own. And there's all that kind of news out there all the time that's telling people this one-sided message. And, you know, again, whether it is a good idea for them to rent or own should be up to that individual, but they're not getting all the information. So how can you as a leader bring that? And I think it's through your digital network, it's through your in-person network, and it's always about leading with education.
Yeah, and I think that brings a big piece is the education part of it. And you mentioned a lot of different resources or sources as to where they can be getting that type of information. So on your report, it clearly states without a shadow of a doubt that YouTube is the number one source for next gen, where they go to find that information. And then when you take it a step further, obviously we know YouTube is videos. So video content is that source. So how, you know, you mentioned some of it doing Instagram quick videos using maybe some of the stats that were, you know, posted on this report, but obviously videos and even online articles. So we are actually on slide 24 of the report that Kristen is showing on screen right now. And when you think about those things, articles and videos, you can be sharing videos and creating videos and sharing it out to your network. Online articles, same thing. So Kristen, let's talk through a little bit of that education piece, because I know that's obviously the foundation of everything we do, especially the two of us personally, but how do we help drive education, which ultimately will lead to the trust? And we'll talk about trust here in just a moment.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, online articles are a different type of thing. Like each of these pieces of content are different and I don't think you can just do one, but you know, whenever we share content with our ambassadors, and we're creating some free resources for anybody, but with First Home IQ, there's lots of content people can share, but that's not going to get the kind of likes as it does if you create a video on that piece of content, you know? So like anytime, and I'm sure everyone listening to this is very aware of that, but when you create a video, you get way more engagement, and that makes sense. But I thought it was really interesting to see, I'm going to pull up to slide 21, where you see that video content is just below friends and family as the place next gen turns to for personal financial information. That to me is like a big indicator of where we are in terms of the way we gather information and what we trust. So friends and family has always been at the very, very top.
Right.
But the fact that video content is right below that is really fascinating to me. That was one of the biggest insights I thought. And then, of course, you see.
Before you kind of go to that slide, you know, for those that are not seeing these slides, if you're not watching us on YouTube, it's literally just over a 2% difference. So think about that and how much trust you have in a family or friend, and comparing that to how much you would trust someone on YouTube. This report is basically saying that they're not very different. It's literally a just over 2% difference in where people are turning to for that information. So that's just crazy and amazing all at the same time.
Yeah. And then video content is not all the same. So if you jump down, we're jumping down to slide 23 and looking at which social platforms do people go to gather information about buying a home. YouTube's at the top for both millennials and Gen Z. And this slide is comparing millennial and Gen Z. But the reason I bring this up is because you see YouTube at the very top for both of those categories, but you see TikTok right below that for Gen Z. And TikTok still hits the top five, but it's at the bottom of that for millennials. So 27% of millennials go to TikTok, 65% go to YouTube. With Gen Z, it's 47%, so 20% more going to TikTok, and then 59% going to YouTube. And, you know, of course, those are two different kinds of content. And I think it's really important that you're using both. And there's video on Instagram as well. But that's where people are going to be gathering a lot of information in different ways. TikTok, of course, and Instagram being short videos, and YouTube being longer form.
And this is where you have to kind of realize where are your customers at, and understanding that there's different opportunities. You notice there there's a bit of a difference on that page when it comes to even Facebook, for example. And then if you go even kind of to the next stage beyond millennials and you go to some of the older generations, that Facebook number would probably be even higher. So kind of understanding where your clients are, who your target audience is, and then getting that information in the right area or in the right social media platform of where they're at is going to get you a little bit more, you know, awareness out there to the audience you're intending to get it in front of. So go ahead, Kristen. I see you just pulled up slide 22 as well.
I know. I was just thinking, I don't need to show this slide. The whole section was really interesting to see how, you know, the top five social media platforms across the board, millennial and Gen Z, where YouTube, Facebook was number two, which I think probably surprises some people, because it is used a lot less with Gen Z. But, and then Instagram, TikTok, and then Reddit, to get into the conversation around trust, which was one of those top insights, Reddit and all of these platforms are all ways that you can build trust. People are wanting to validate their information. They're wanting to get, you know, more information from other sources to be able to make decisions on their own. And I think those platforms really show that.
Well, and I think part of building trust, and that's kind of where we were going to, and before I even get into the stats of that, building trust is just being engaged in the conversation. And I know we've talked about it quite a bit on a lot of times people are asking, well, what do I post, or, you know, when should I post? Well, it's not even about the post itself. It's about if someone engages you in the post, actually replying to their comment, or finding somebody else's post and commenting on that post, engaging, that kind of gets that conversation started, which I guess makes me think why Reddit is so high on that list. I never even thought of it until I read your report, but it gives you the opportunity to engage others in a group setting. But again, they get to hear, you get to put your voice to that, to whatever message you're conveying in writing. You can use your personality a little bit, et cetera. And they start to get to know you and what you're all about slowly but surely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the Reddit piece was interesting, but it's just to show you how much, especially you see that a lot higher with millennials, and they're really, really skeptical. They're really wanting to see even what strangers that they don't trust, they can see a bunch of crazy information from people on Reddit, but they're sifting through that, you know, they know, like, oh yeah, there's some crazy people out there making these comments, but it's worth it to me to sift through all this to get some third party, you know, validation. So
exactly. Well, it's interesting. I guess no matter where you go, it doesn't matter what platform, you're going to get crazy comments in one way, shape, or form. It's just kind of helping your clients and helping your audience out there kind of get through that and sort through that and ignore some of the misinformation that's out there. And I think that's part of the trust part. So over the last, I know, at least 2 years of reports, you've really reported on the lack of trust that consumers have. And I think a lot of things in this world play into that. But how has that trust evolved? And to me, this, you know, a lot of things we've talked about in educating starts to turn the table. I feel like, I think you put 51%. So we're right at the 50-50 mark. Do or do not trust their lender or their financial partner. How do we help continue that? I'll say in the right direction, because I feel like that number was higher over the last few years. So how do we continue to make that kind of continue to go down where they are trusting you a lot more?
Yeah, I would say it's not statistically significant that we're, you know, moving in the right direction, but we are moving in the right direction. And what I think is important to recognize is that this distrust isn't going to go anywhere. We are going to, as consumers, be distrusting of experts, just because, you know, as you've heard me talk about a lot, as a whole society, we're less trusting of media, yes, healthcare, technology companies, you know, you name it, government, you could go down any industry and we're less trusting. So that was one of the big things that, you know, I've been talking about over the last year. But as it comes to our industry, how do you build trust? It's all the ways we've been talking about, you know, how it's through sharing information and education. It's by giving them information that helps them validate their research. So it's not just you talking, it's you sharing this. It is also you doing video content so they're able to get to know you as a person. All of that is going to help in improving that number. And the other good thing about high distrust is that whenever they do trust you, you feel like something really special. They're going to stick with you, you know, and they're going to send you lots of business too.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because there is such distrust out there that the moment you do capture their trust, based on this slide you were just showing, Kristen, and I remember the name, the number, the slide number it was 19. For those 19. So it just elevates you and takes you to yet another level compared to your competitors out there, because you have captured that trust. And think about it, right now in that slide, it showed that there's a lot more trust to make better financial decisions in realtor partners than they are with their lender right now. So if you can kind of almost build that or solidify that partnership with your realtors and almost come in as a unified front with your customers in terms of educating them and helping them, that just takes you to yet another level. So again, you know, there's a B2C component here when it talks to your customers, but there's also a B2B component when it means forming those relationships with your realtors and helping educate them, because ultimately they'll help educate your customer too. So there, you know, that trust factor continues to be prevalent. Kristen, I know you and I have talked about it. It's not going away anytime soon because of the way we are as a society. So we just have to continue to work through it. And I think that's when you look at top producers, how are they succeeding even in this current market? That plays a role into it, the trust and the information, the education they've built out there with their consumers and referral partners.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because we broke this down by age in the past. And I think if we do a Gen Z report, we'll look at this. But Gen Z, we're a lot less trusting of their lender and realtor than millennials. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see. I would imagine it's probably similar this year as well. But that said, I think that some of that pressure is relieved by the access to information that's available to them through social media and online sources. But it's just a matter of, like, don't compete with those sources, become part of that, help, you know, right, use those resources to your advantage. to share social content and other, and be active in those spaces to be able to add to that trust.
Yep, no doubt about it. So I know Kristen just referenced a Gen Z report. So if you haven't downloaded those reports and you want to go back, we published those last year. Just visit our webpage at nationalmi.com, click on training and then next gen resources. Not just as the 2024 next gen report we just came out with on there, but if you click on the archive or the past report section, last year's report on financial literacy that Kristen mentioned today, the Gen Z report that Kristen mentioned as well. And there actually is a report on women home ownership that we published last year as well, that are all available to you. So great opportunity to kind of just get some more information and insights that you can use to better, you know, understand the market and those within your market that are out there. So Kristen, I'll kind of ask you to kind of just wrap us up with this report. Anything you want to share with our audience, whether it be customers or even loan officers out there, as it relates to the insights of this report and even best ways to utilize the insights you've provided us?
Yeah, main thing, I mean, definitely when it comes to using the insights, I would recommend if you are a loan officer, this is great content to share with your realtor partners. Do a lunch and learn on this content. You can share these slides and I think that would be great. Then the other thing is to, like I said before, create video content where you are sharing your slides in the background and then you're talking about that specific area. So you could do this. One of our ambassadors, Ryan Niles, did this on the last year's report, and he would go over one slide and just speak to some of the content there and say, you know, we're seeing more distrust in the market because of blah, 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 you know, and share his expertise around that. So those are just great ways to be bringing value through the insights that we've gathered here. And then as Ralph mentioned, I think there's a lot of other research that might be valuable to you from Gen Z, as well as the Women's Report and the Financial Literacy Report, which is all cited in this year's report as well.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point about using one slide and the loan officer who was using that, because a lot of times we get asked, like, what should I post? Well, do a quick video, 2 minutes on this slide and what your thoughts are and how you can help overcome some of the challenges that are mentioned in that one slide. So if you look at, we have 25, 30 slides in this report. Now, you can't use every single one of the slides. You know, there's some transition slides in there, but there's a good 15 to 20 slides of data that you can use. So don't feel like you have to make this 20-minute video or to educate people. Take small segments and use that as an opportunity to continue to educate over time. So that's a great point on using that one slide. I will kind of remind everybody that Kristen, depending when you're watching or hearing this, Kristen's going to be on at National MI University on March the 13th. So depending on when you're listening to this, if it's prior to March 13th, recommend that you go to National MI, to our training page, to our calendar, and sign up for that webinar. She's going to really deep dive just overall different things regarding home ownership in the market. She will reference some of the things within this report. If it's after the 13th, then just go to that next gen page I referenced earlier, scroll to the bottom. Kristen's webinar recordings are there, and the recording of that webinar will be sitting there for you about a day after that webinar is complete. So March 13th, 2 p.m. Eastern time, we'd love for you to join us for that. In the meantime, again, if you haven't subscribed to us, subscribe to the Mortgage Mix podcast. I want to send a big thank you to Kristen for joining me again today. You are my first repeat, but I'm confident this will not be your last visit to our podcast.
I'm so glad to make that spot of the first repeat. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I guess next time I have you, I'll have to say it's the first try, yes. You know, visitor, yes, to our podcast, but we'll keep that record going for you. So, perfect. Well, on behalf of both of us, Kristen and myself, we thank you for spending some time with us. Make sure to download that report. Make sure to like us, subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you again next time. We'll talk to you all soon. Take care.